afternoon and evening out there on the internets. It is 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, unless you're looking at Fig's computer, in which case it's 6.
For some reason.
I'm Chloe Z, Miss Z Zimmerman.
Hello.
Across from me is Brian Finifter.
And hello.
Spazzing the fuck out is T. Christie.
I'm like Edwin. Woo!
Welcome to Geeksa.
Speaking of my computer clock being off by 2 hours, do you know we actually have a dedicated listener who heard the episode, heard us complaining about it, more specifically Brian complaining about it, and me being very apathetic, emailed us and said, hey, dude, the problem is this. If you do this, 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 and this, and go to Best Buy and buy this and reinstall it, it'll be fine, and tell Brian that he's an asshole. Which was awesome. I love that we have listeners that do that. I could not be more happy.
Just for the record, I know I'm an asshole. Thank you very much.
Cool, right?
Assholes all around.
Anyway, like we established in the
assholes.
Pre-show, which you and the MP3 cannot hear, Brian's going to be skedaddling here in about 20 minutes. He'll be
That's
bugging
true.
Out. That's what the
I
kids
bugging
say.
Out.
Bugging out. Like Harry.
I am leaving this aerial dogfight early.
This aerial dogfight of an internet talk show.
Wow, sound effects, man. The studio environment. Well done.
Did you? Okay, I'm opening up the discussion on, hey, guess what we're talking about? We're talking about Indiana Jones 4, like always. So I noticed something when I was reading the script earlier today.
Uh-huh.
When they're like, where is it? I'm not going to look at it, but they're like, something about the protocol, and they're like, it's...
Oh, yes, I recall this.
Yeah.
What are you talking
about? It's Tango
of?
Something...
Tango Protocol X-Ray.
No, Tango H, whatever H is, X-ray,
Hotel,
1138.
Tango Hotel 1138.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep, it's in there. I didn't even fucking notice
that.
It.
I missed that.
It's Chloe totally didn't. In there. I was like, what the hell?
Right.
Awesome.
That sly Darabont.
In any case. So that's what we're going to get started talking about, because Brian's going to leave, and all of you people listen, because Brian knows more about Indiana Jones than anyone on the planet, and not because we're interesting people, so we should probably get started.
It's true. I'm very attractive.
He's doing his Christian Bale face. It's so charming.
Hello.
Anyway.
All right. Anyway.
He's going to murder us all
about
with chainsaws.
5 years ago, Frank Darabont of Shawshank Redemption, Green Mile, and The Mist fame, all of which are very good scripts.
Mist?
Not so good.
I like The Mist a lot.
Really?
Thank you, ma'am. I do.
Really?
I really do.
Of course, Shawshank is the ultimate,
Shawshank,
ultimate
great,
one,
great
one of the all-time great scripts and movies.
Definitely.
And Green Mile was very great. It's underrated. No one's seen it, but they should, because it's as good. And of course, Chloe Z is now going, what the hell, at the audacity. We'll keep working on this, though. It's okay. Figure
it
out.
Tell me if you can't hear us or our levels drop suddenly due to dirty power issues.
Holy shit, that's weird. And we're just talking, and the levels went right back up again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to get a better mixer board.
Yeah,
speaking
definitely.
Of which, that reminds me, real fast, before we get into the city, Indiana Jones. If you are listening to this through iTunes, you are listening to the shitty talk show version of the file, you should go to Geeksa after the episode airs and download the high-res one, because it's infinitely higher quality. And if you have to sit through an annoying listener calling in like alien sex, you realize the pain that you are completely, completely not deserving of. But if you listen to the high-res MP3, it's edited out, plus we have our catchy theme song.
I would like to state for the record that I severely objected to allowing alien sex.
So did I. I think it
was
Brian. It was an experiment. Didn't work out.
Vote now. Anyway.
I'll admit it didn't work out.
So about 5 years ago, Frank Darabont was commissioned to write the script for the fourth Indiana Jones. They were going to do a sequel.
Are they going to do an Indiana Jones 4? Oh my God, I can't wait to see that. It's going to be great.
Darabont's
going to write the script.
Darabont's
going to
do
great.
He's done a good job.
Oh my God, it's going to be awesome.
He's that one guy that adapts out. Okay, so what ends up happening?
So that's the past 5 years.
He writes it, spends a year on it, writes I think we're all in agreement, very good script. Could use some notes, but generally very good.
Yes, not without its issues, though.
And then Steven Spielberg, who he's been working with this entire time, says that it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Ford loves it.
Now, we should explain. I don't know if we've explained before the pact that the three of them had, but the pact was that Harrison Ford, Steven Spielberg, and George Lucas all had to be, quote, in love with the thing before they would go ahead. And it had
to
be a unanimous thing.
It seemed like a good idea before they accounted for the fact that one of the three was George Lucas. Because
yes.
Two of them like story, and then there's George Lucas who likes prairie dogs. So while Harrison and Steven loved the script, and of course Frank was very happy with it, George Lucas dismissed it, basically sight unseen, and it never saw the light of day, officially, until a couple weeks ago,
when
it was
leaked
to the entire interwebs. And we don't know why, we don't know how
or who,
but the website that was hosting it went down within an hour, so it spread like wildfire, but then it stopped. So not so much like wildfire, more like a bottle rocket.
Okay.
Right? Do you see what I did there?
Like a flare?
Like a flare.
Like a flare?
Like
Like a nuclear bomb?
Ooh. Wow. Yeah, unfortunately, that's, I guess, a good place to start. Brian, what were some of your dislikes with the City of the Gods, Indiana Jones 4, as told by Frank Darabont?
Well, Fig will confirm this, but I started reading it before Fig did, but didn't finish it before, but I started reading it before, and got to the point where Indy climbs into a refrigerator and then is blasted away from a nuclear bomb and flies, and then, as you saw in the movie, and... As we had discussed before on this show, we were like, there's no way that plot point is Frank Darabont. I'm sure Frank Darabont is better than that. So when I read that, it's not an understatement to say that I was actually legitimately upset.
I was outside the room, and I was doing something, and I heard yelling, and I was like, what the fuck
Brian
is going on?
Brian stomps up the steps.
I literally am screaming
yelling.
Up the steps. Fake!
The refrigerator scene is Frank's. No.
I was very disappointed.
But. Honestly, when I read it in his draft, I didn't mind it a third as much as I minded it in the existing movie. Mostly because there is the ramp up and the ramp down from it in Frank Darabont's script.
I actually think it's a little worse because there's no, at least in the script, there's no like inserts. There's a label on the refrigerator that says Leadline. The only way they justify that aspect of it is later on when one of the government agents goes, oh yeah, he's lucky because it happened to be Leadlined.
Whatever. But so, that also appears in every single draft of the script, so it's probably not Frank's idea.
I don't know.
Maybe not. That's Doggins? A very good point.
The front of the script itself says, screenplay
Indiana
by
Jones
Frank Darabont.
Flying refrigerator.
Screenplay by Frank Darabont, story by George Lucas. I'm sorry, Chloe, what's going on in the chat room?
Doggins says that there were too many unnecessary characters.
Agreed.
In which one?
Both.
In both.
There was a whole bunch of unnecessary baddies in both movies, and maybe the problem with the script is that you can't visualize them in your head as well. We could have lost.
There were too many, but there were fewer.
I thought that Darabont handled them better.
Maybe that's probably true, actually.
Oddly
enough, I did miss Irina Spalko. I kind of thought she was cool. I didn't need her, but she was a cool character. They, you know, screwed her up.
That was cool.
A
plane just flew overhead, and like the shadow of it casting just. Passed over the room.
It made the whole place dark because there's no lights on because we don't like power usage.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so what were you going to say about bad guys and being easy to read? Chloe literally just finished the script before the show.
Yeah, I finished the script and then I plugged in the mics. I actually was more interested with the baddies being way less straightforward and a little more convoluted because there's always like... Because there was the lame, I'm a double agent, I'm a triple agent.
I'm a five-tuple agent. You just didn't ask me enough times.
Yeah, we just didn't get far enough into it. But had this gone on another hour, it would have been really cool.
Whereas the twist with Peter was actually kind of interesting. I kind of expected it, but it was interesting.
In Darabont's script, there's a lot more to do with crazy KGB Soviet bastards.
And they don't drop the FBI thread, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the end. And I like how they brought it all back. And, of course, one of the major high points of this script is the ending. The ending is just awesome.
I agree that the ending is a lot tighter, a lot clearer than what ended up on screen.
Yeah.
I also like that the aliens were actually, like, malevolent.
God, they were pissed.
They were pissed.
Do you recall that?
I do. I'm not sure I understand really the motivation of the aliens.
Stole their skulls. They want their skulls back.
But they brought them back. Well, they brought the one back.
Yeah,
but if someone stole your skull and brought it back 3,000 years later, would you be a little miffed? A little miffed. Like, oh, damn, the air conditioning doesn't work, miffed.
A little.
Your skull. Your face would be a jelly for 3,000 years.
A jelly.
But it's still like... we should point out that another difference is that on the screen version... All of the skulls, except for the main hero prop, are at the end location. But in the script, they only bring the one back.
Right.
And all the other 12 are still missing. Or in museums, the way the actual crystal skulls are.
Where they belong.
In a museum. which is something else I want to mention. Now, I've wanted to ask your opinion since you finished reading it. About in the beginning where he's... he goes into the museum and he sees the idol from the beginning.
And he steals the idol?
And he uses it.
That makes a perfect segue for what Doggins in the chat room just said. By the way, Doggins, welcome back, dude.
Hi, Doggins.
Where have you been for like a year? Doggins in the chat room says, I think Darabont's script had a bit more unnecessary fan service than the final movie, and namely, Henry and Sala's appearances.
Okay, Sala was unnecessary, but
agreed. I will agree with both of those.
You want Sean Connery singing poorly?
No.
No.
Yeah, Chad leans in my room and goes, "Hi, Doggins," and then leaves. Yeah. Well, yeah, and of course, fan service primo would be showing the, what is it, the Jovito?
Yes,
the statue, Jovitos. And then he teals it again.
And then bringing the Jovitos themselves back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of fan wipe.
There is a lot, but, you know, that actually brings up a really cool list of points that, despite the fact I don't often agree with Gregory Harbin on the subjects of taste in movies or music, he did actually read the script. He didn't like it so much, but he gave 6 notes that I think are actually really, really helpful.
Okay.
So you guys think about the script, including these notes, and tell me what you think. This is from his blog at gregoryharbin.com. 1. And of course, some of these are specifically in reference to Crystal Skull's superiorities over, God forbid, City of the Gods. But here's his first notes to Frank Darabont in 2004 after he finishes the script. 1. Indy needs a sidekick, maybe a son. I agree. That's actually a nice... And I really...
These are his notes literally from 2004?
No, these are Gregory's notes from just this past week or two when he read the script. But if he had read the script from Darabont in 2004, these are the notes he would give him for changes.
Okay.
Starting with City of the Gods, not with Crystal Skull.
Gotcha.
Indy needs a sidekick, maybe a son. I don't disagree with that. That's a cool aspect of the story.
It's a good story point.
He says, reduce the villains. Give us one single interesting one that we can cast a name as. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got the double crossing. What's the guy's name? Peter.
Yeah.
And we've got like El Presidente, and I feel like we should start.
And Yuri and.
Yuri. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yuri.
Yeah, Yuri is the main.
He's the main baddie.
But then you also have, what's his name? Osgood?
Yeah.
Much of them. I love American the way Oxley aircraft. Was handled in the script, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Me too.
I like that a lot more.
That was way better.
It's a lot better in the script.
Yeah.
I like the closing on him, too, with the silverware. That was cute.
Yeah. And it just. His transformation between one and the other, you know, between being crazy and being completely clear-headed was handled a lot better in City of the Gods.
Philippe in the chat room says that Yuri was really a pain in the ass throughout the entire script.
Yeah, so inconvenient with his villainhood.
Yeah, and Doggett says that in the beginning of the movie that Yuri was basically Yakov Smirnoff, which is a little weird. You know, Yuri, live in Branson. Okay, anyway.
Okay.
Gregory's third...
You used to live near Branson. Do you ever actually go see Yakov Smirnoff?
Yeah. Yep. His sign is so cool. It's like a big cartoon him, and he's like flying out of it, and his fists are going, and he's got a big hat.
I have nothing.
I also saw Shoji. Shoji.
Yes, with the most amazing bathrooms in the world.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And you know what's cool is that I don't think he's actually had anyone come and see him play. So the bathrooms are basically the main attraction. He'll play violin for you for like 99 cents. Anyway, 3 on Gregory's list of notes. Maybe have Indy visit the hangar from Raiders at the beginning. I think that might be informed by Crystal Skull a little bit.
A little bit.
Admittedly, I do like that whole plot point, though.
And that,
I do
too. That is fan service.
Yeah, that is fan service, but that's acceptable.
But there's a certain amount of fan service done the right way that would be cool, and that would qualify.
You get all cool. Floppy and gay? What right. the hell?
Because the hangar is cool, and I was glad to be back there.
Okay, anyway. 4, rewrite Yuri as less annoying. I think Gregory and Doggins concur on this point.
I think they could get married based on that point.
Oh, well, they should. That'd be an awkward wedding. But they could. This past week, George Takei got married because California legalized gay marriage.
Yay! Yes, he did.
Yay.
And on the Dave School Forum, there were...
Yeah, there was on the alumni board, the secret, super-duper secret alumni board of the Dave School Forum. Someone was like, George Takei got married. And then like the subtitle on the forum, on the thread was, sorry, Fig.
Oh,
those bastards. Oh my. 5, lessen the fantastical bits, such as Oxley swinging from ropes and Indy being eaten by a snake, and keep Indy afraid of snakes. It's part of his character. I disagree with the last note because I loved that he shed his fear of snakes only to get it back again after the snake scene, which means keeping both of those two.
I could go either way. That would be something that I'd have to see how it was actually played and acted before I would decide.
If I recall, your note was that they shouldn't have started with the giant snake.
Yes, because they have the whole theme of giant animals as they get closer to the City of Gods, and I didn't like the fact that they started with the snake. But if they had started with the insects and the dragonflies and then gone to the snake...
Chloe, you read it more recently than both of us. Is the first thing they see like a dragonfly, or is it the snake?
No, they see the dragonfly like seconds after the snake. They kill the snake, they fall out of the tree, and they're like, dragonfly!
Then I wholeheartedly agree with that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. All right. And I'm sorry that we're blasting through this. I wish we could have a long episode, but Brian's got to get going. And point six, his sixth note out of six. Keep references to the earlier films down to one or two. Remember, the audience is there to see this film, not the earlier ones. Yeah, right.
That's a good point.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I want to trim a lot of the lip service, but, you know, I think those notes and the script that we just read would make for a fucking killer Indy 4.
I agree. Now, see, and I agree with a lot of that, but I do like, ultimately, and maybe it's just the fanboy in me, but I do like the fact that we saw the idol and he interacted with the idol again. Like, if that had been it, and then you went on with the rest of the movie, and the rest of the movie is new, with the exception of that hangar sequence,
yeah,
I would have been okay with
I
that.
I think the idol's still a bit much. Although I like the really benevolent security guard guy who's like, oh, Mr. Yeah. Jones, you're doing it again. You're all drunk. Stealing precious things that are priceless.
Get drunk and relive his heydays raiding the museum.
Yeah.
Only to sheepishly come back in the morning with a handful of priceless artifacts.
Here, guys.
Sorry, I got a little wasted again. Here you go.
Clink, 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 clink.
Swinging through the museum with his bullwhip.
And the security guard goes, oh, that Jones.
Whackety schmackety doo. Hey, look who just joined us in the chat room. We've got Taylor Karras, we've got Nate Cow, and we've got BGI 2000. 2000! In the year 2000.
Thank you, Conan.
I love the fact that they still do those. It's 2008, and they still do it in the year 2000. I love it.
I love it, too. I'm a really big fan of that. I'm trying to think of what else we could talk about. Oh, I guess we should do this before you go, because you got to go here in a few minutes.
What?
Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, I don't know if you guys... I'm not going to give the ending away, but holy crap, the ending. Oh, my God, amazing.
Brian was literally watching it. Like, I walked in right at the very end, and you know what I'm talking about if you've seen the episode. And if you don't care, you won't know. And Brian was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I was literally like, the last, like 5 minutes
of the episode. His hand was on his mouth. He was like, oh, my God.
But you actually saw the ship that you did a little work on.
Saul. Well, yeah. It appeared in that one of those last sequences with all the ships. The whole. What's it called?
The Rising Star.
Well, no, not the ship, but the whole like caravan or the
fleet. They just called it the fleet.
There was the Rising Star, we think, or a ship like it. But I textured.
It's definitely the Rising the ship that you textured.
Oh, it is? Cool. So a ship that I worked on, and then also the Tantive IV.
It looks like it. It might have been the Astral Queen or the same model, which is a ship from season one of Battlestar. But yeah, it looks exactly like
a Corellian freighter.
The Corellian Corvette.
Corvette. I think it's a freighter.
It's a blockade runner.
I think it's a...
I would just like to explain myself in my previous outburst. Occasionally, Brian says, drawl.
Or Florida.
Florida.
Did I say Florida?
You say Florida.
Florida.
He finishes his W's with L's.
It's really cute, though.
Fight it.
And we need to point it out as a group in order to wean him.
But in my defense, people from my region of the country...
are wrong.
Yes. But they also, and this one bothers the crap out of me, they pronounce water as wooder. W-U-D-E-R.
Wooder. Use it in a sentence.
I want a glass of water.
Oh, you're right. They do. I recognize that.
So
yeah, you're right.
That bothers me.
I've lived in every state in the Union, save for maybe 40. And nice. I think I've shed my accent entirely. I don't think I picked up or lost an accent anywhere along the way.
Yeah, I'd say you have.
I
lost my accent entirely there, huh?
I have a hardcore Northern California accent.
Yeah, you do.
But
that's totally true, though. You know, that's a good observation.
The only people who have pointed this out to me are Europeans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, they know that, too. Because,
interestingly
Europeans
enough,
have a good
I like their detective work there.
Northern California accent.
Oddly
like.
Enough.
Yeah. Well, of course, Chloe comes back and she knows what Northern European accents sound like. She does. She listens
Dutch
to
Dutch accent? Is that what you're saying? Or
I don't know.
Finnish?
I think Dutch is on the other side of the planet from Europe. Just saying.
Teague knows science.
Thank you. Anyway, Brian, you got to get going. It's about 6:20. 4:20. Shut up. My clock is awesome.
Is it 4:20? Dude, I totally got to
get it. Dude, it's 4:20. I'm bugging out.
I'm bugging out, man.
So where are you off to? What is this thing? What is this game that y'all play?
What is this crazy thing? My teacher in the acting class I take at the acting school across the street.
Go ahead and say who she is. Come on.
She is Laura Hofferman from Free Enterprise.
The green chick at the end of the movie.
The green chick that pops out of the UFO and dances. Holy crap. Which was so amazing because I was coming home. I came home and was like, okay, I checked out her IMDb a couple of weeks after she started teaching us. And I was like, hey, Chad, come check out who my teacher is and all the things she's been in. And he spotted it. He was like, oh, wow, she was Laura Hofferman. And then I totally geeked out. Wow. It's Laura Hofferman.
Did you geek out all over your monitor and on the drip down?
No.
Oh.
But in class, I was like, Holly, I have to geek out. You're Laura Hofferman. She's like, oh, yeah, that was like 4 o'clock in the morning, and Eric McCormack is an asshole. And
aww. Great. Yeah. And, of course, we live right down the street from Iliad Bookshop. This is an awesome free enterprise intersection.
We do.
Cool. Where are you going?
So she was actually – she missed a class, which – because she was violently ill and like –
And Brian cried.
I did. It's something that's only happened in this whole acting school's history like once or twice. In order to kind of make up for that, she's bringing in a manager friend of hers to do a talk, and I agreed to videotape it. So that's
nice.
What I'm going to do.
Rub a little bit of that Riddle Player's dust on it.
With my trusty GL2.
Ooh, that doesn't really work properly. Oh my god, I forgot to tell you this. Before you go, you have to know this. We need to figure out a way to get your FireWire to work, because there's a freeware program that hooks up to your webcam or DV input.
Oh,
and allows you to play the theremin with motion tracking tools. It's basically you draw two lines, one for pitch, one for volume. If you know a theremin, you know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
And you put your fingers against, you basically put it against like a white wall or some sort of, you know, pattern-free background. And you put your fingers live in front of the lines that it superimposes on this program, and it goes...
No way.
You spread your fingers apart for the vibrato. It works just like a theremin, but it's based on a webcam. It's called Cam Theremin. You should look it up. Everyone should download it. I got it, and I don't have a webcam, and I couldn't use it, and I was really throwing a fit because I wanted to play with it because I'm a huge fag for theremins.
Okay, well, to fix my camera, we have to replace a motherboard, which will cost $800, so good luck with that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the motherboard is leaking, Master. We'll need a new one.
Bye, guys.
Yeah.
Aww.
See, that was my segue into the Phantom Edit. Do you see what I did there?
I was just 11-seen, so
yeah, which
don't
is
talk
good.
About
so
it,
fuck
and then we'll talk about it next week.
Go fucking die or something like that. Just see
hey,
if I care.
Go fuck yourself.
Don't you mean go take a long walk off a short plank or something, Mr. New Jersey? Off into the water? That water? Come on, I work
this
water.
This conversation not endorsed.
I'm just
going to
keep
nosy.
Talking until I run out of XLR cord.
Brian's like, ee!
You gonna coil that?
Nope.
Oh,
I thought you liked coiling cable.
Now he's out of the room. We can't even see him. Now he's gone. Brian, are you still there?
Brian. Where'd you go?
I guess he's still losing.
The
cord just went slack.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess he's gone. Oh, we lost Brian. All right, so long. Have a good day with Laura Hofferman.
See ya.
Because isn't that what we all want? Just play spin the bottle and have it land on Laura Hofferman? Chloe Z, what's going on in the chat room before we move on to our next
something
subject?
Something about... $800 motherboards, yes, that's
ooh,
what he said.
Wow.
Virtual theremin.
Yay! Thank you, BGII, for putting that in the chat room. Brad, you are my hero. Everyone download that shit, and I want to see a slew of reviews in my email box, because that is the coolest thing I've ever heard of in my life. I can't even believe how amazingly genius that is.
It's pretty badass.
It's pretty freaking badass. All right, let's go ahead and move on the dockets. We've covered our City of the Gods fairly efficiently. Thank you for everyone that downloaded it illegally, you pirating bastards, and read it. This book, Circle Club, was kind of fun, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Trey's response was, ooh, now there's required reading. This is cool. But I think Trey reads
far
more.
Did he make
more.
That hand motion, too?
I don't know. It was online. I like to think that everything he says is associated with a little hoo-hoo kind of.
Yeah, English. Cigarette in one hand.
Yeah, speaking of Edwin.
Mini flail.
Right, exactly. All right, what else
speaking
is on the...
Speaking
of Trey, Stan Winston died.
You smile a lot when you say that.
It's just, Stan Winston isn't Trey, but Trey's a creature feature guy, and Stan Winston's a creature feature guy, man. They probably went to the same parties. Stan Winston, who is like one of my idols, one of those last guys that I really, really needed to meet and shake their hands, passed away this past week of myeloma or something like that. Like, he had
cancer
for years. Cancer
of some variety.
Cancer of the AIDS, the leukemia
of
the
eyes.
Which is a major... I mean, God, that means that we are completely out of guys who can do kick-ass...
The thing about it is...
It's going to be all CG from now on.
Oh. No, the thing about it is a lot of those guys were working with noxious chemicals in, like, their entire careers to, like, build stuff. So they
really?
Ended up with a lot of, like, bad neurological diseases.
So can we sue the foam rubber company for killing Stan Winston?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Tirade! Let's go!
Onward!
Chloe Z, what's going on in the chat room? Oh, look at all the... Oh... Nate Cow says, oh, fuck CGI. Philippe says, no, sweet. Doggin says, I think just about every forum I frequent was filled with very sad people when Winston's death was announced.
It's weird because I work at a
3D
company, and so two or three of the guys that I work with actually knew Stan Winston, and I was the first person to tell them.
Oh, that's not
and
cool.
And no one believed me.
Yeah, that sucks.
They're like, what? I've heard nothing. And I'm like, yep, nope, totally dead.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Of course, Stan Winston was famous for a thousand things that don't need to be repeated because the news covered it all last week. One of my favorite of the underrated things that he did creature designs for was the movie Evolution, starring David Duchovny, because I thought the aliens in it were really, really awesome.
You're getting better at segues, you know?
Thank you. I really am trying. Like, I thought it was funny to be really bad at them, but I realized that no one thought that joke was funny.
Because it's not hard to be bad at segues.
Oh, okay, cool. In any case. But yeah, he did amazing aliens in that movie, but no one liked it. Perhaps because Ivan Reitman is untalented. And his son has taken all the reins because, you know, all Ivan Reitman had was Ghostbusters and Stripes. And now Jason Reitman has Thank You for Smoking in Juno, so they're tied. And if Jason Reitman comes out with one more, that means Ivan Reitman is fully buried.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah,
David Duchovny, who is in... Did we talk about this on the show, or was that in the pre-show?
What?
Californication?
No, we did not talk. That was the pre-show.
Oh, cool. For those who like TV but hate TVs, you should go to Blockbuster and rent the TV show Californication. It just came out. I think the first season just wrapped up. There's two discs. So when you go to Blockbuster, you have to rent two cases, which kind of blows, but whatever. Very, very, very funny. Slightly fantastical, but overall grounded series on Showtime. Starring David Duchovny as a writer in Hollywood. And, well, maybe Santa Monica. More kind of Venice area. In any case.
Yeah, no, it's Venice-y. Mighty Venice-y.
Like, there's a bunch of stock footage shots of, like, the corner where your work is at and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, just a genius, very funny, like, laugh on the floor type show. And there's really not more to say about it, but you guys should check it out. It's called Californication, which I don't think is a great name, and I don't think the intro sequence is very great, but the show itself is just genius.
Did this come out before the... No, it did not come out before the Red Hot Chili...
Year.
Yeah, so the Red Hot... It's named after a Red Hot Chili Pepper song.
Which makes no appearance on the show very, very mercifully.
Nice. Yeah.
Anyway, other things that happened this week, in addition to Californication entering our periph and Stan Winston dying because of foam rubber... Fucking asshole foam rubber, dick foam rubber, douchebag foam rubber. Iron Man is now officially the biggest movie of this year. I think we talked about that in the pre-show. Did we talk about that in the real episode?
You went through the docket in the pre-show.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, Iron Man,
$300 million. Oh, this crazy deja vu.
$300 million Iron Man has made. It's doing great. Hulk made like maybe $10. It's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, there's that. And, of course, next week, WALL-E comes out. I think I've established this already. I could not be more excited about this if there was an electrical socket up my ass and it was turning me on all the time. I am just completely stoked. Chloe, thoughts on WALL-E?
I'm excited.
Which one's your favorite?
Mo.
Mo?
Mo.
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 Nice.
Yeah, that was...
There's a little character trailer that goes through all the characters in the movie. We talked about it on a previous episode, but one of them is a trash guy named Mo. And he's just a pissed off little robot. And all he says is, Mo. Yeah.
And he's the most like me.
You're pissed off and trashy?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes, I am.
Nice. But I think that covers our non-broad sweep topic. So that's our nice little intermission of unrelated shit. Let's go ahead and get back to our topic at hand, which is unofficial entrance into the franchises that we love that never made it and were replaced by things that are not as good. We've already talked about City of the Gods. Let's go ahead and talk about The Phantom Edit.
Oh, right. Okay. So I watched The Phantom Edit a couple weeks ago. I don't remember The Phantom Menace. I saw it when it came out and was like, wow, that was kind
of
boring.
Putting you right in league with most of the Phantom Edit fans.
Yeah. So I can't contrast and compare at all.
Nate Cow says he likes The Phantom Edit in the chat room. Chloe?
It had awesome commentary, is actually what he says.
Oh, cool. I actually haven't listened to the commentary yet. When you go to any BitTorrent service and download it, it actually comes with two tracks. So don't freak out if you open it in QuickTime and there's too much talking going on. Open it up with VLC player or some DVD playing program, and you'll be able to turn off one or other of the tracks and listen to it. But the commentary by the guy who edited it, whose name slips my mind because he went by the Phantom Editor for years and years,
is chat actually room.
Really, really informative and really awesome.
Come on, chat room. What's his name?
The one sentence summary of what this whole thing is, of course, is that after The Phantom Menace came out and everyone was like, oh, fuck, we are in for a long 6 or 8 years. Who is this Rick McCallum and what is he going to do to our new childhoods? An editor who at the time went nameless, and that's the name we're trying to come up with now, basically took his DVD of The Phantom Menace, captured it onto his computer, and did a very thorough re-editing of it, taking out, although the news reported it as being just Jar Jar, taking out a lot of superfluous scenes.
Yeah, and kind of moving them around.
And not all Jar Jar, and actually made better performances basically all around.
Yeah.
The
kid could not as noticeably not act.
Jake Lloyd. Jake Lloyd, I went to school with Jake Lloyd. My buddy Kyle got into a... basically, apparently Jake was going like, I just can't... There's no physical way to do this math problem. And Kyle told him to reach out with his feelings. And apparently they, like, fought. Like, he threw a book at him and Kyle got pinned down.
Anyway, I can see that.
Anyway. But The Phantom Edit came out a few years ago and started getting reviewed by the Chicago Sun-Times. And everyone got to it. And they all gave it a higher rating than the fucking Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
So, cool. Making that two major things that we can talk about this week that were never officially entered in the canon of our favorite franchises, but ostensibly better than what was.
Yeah.
The Phantom Edit.
The Phantom Edit, the beginning is a little rough because they didn't really have anything else to work with.
The beginning of The Phantom Menace is retarded and fast anyway, so making it make sense.
But I feel like in The Phantom Menace, I understood what was going on.
The taxation of outlying trade routes.
Shut up, Brian.
I listened to Geeksa. Okay. Anyway. So, yeah. Chloe, what'd you think?
Oh, The Phantom Edit?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Oh, she thumbs up. That's nice.
Yeah.
Translates quite well for the internet radio.
Ma!
Nice. My thoughts on The Phantom Edit were, I had no idea really what to expect. For some reason, I've always associated it with being sort of a crappy thing that'd be hard to sit through. As it turns out, The Phantom Edit is actually way more fun to watch than The Phantom Menace, and it kind of retains all the fun stuff, and it makes me like The Phantom Menace for real again, and I think that most people would like it if they saw it. For years, I've actually been that guy that was apologizing for liking The Phantom Menace.
Mike Nelson knows you as that guy.
Yeah, next month in San Diego, there's going to be a live Riff Tracks with Mike Nelson and Bill Corbett and perhaps Kevin Murphy. They're doing Plan 9 from Outer Space, Ed Wood's movie, for those who like Johnny Depp films by Tim Burton. They're going to do a live riff of, or MST3K of Plan 9 from Outer Space, and I plan to go talk to Mike and be like, hey, what's up? I'm Fig from Geeksa. I was the guy with the red hair in the logo that liked that steaming pile of Drek. And I actually asked, I asked Hanel if he thought he would remember me. He's like, oh yeah, he remembers you. He talks about you. I'm like, oh fuck. Oh Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
You're that guy.
I'm very much that guy, but now I don't feel like an apologist anymore because The Phantom Edit changed, something's going on in the chat room. We've got people talking. Tempest Johnny says.
No.
What?
Nate says. Wikipedia says it was Mike Nichols.
Mike Nichols. Damn, his career really picked up after The Phantom Edit. What else is going on in the chat room, Chloe Z? Start reading.
They're just congratulating you on making an impact on Mike Nelson.
When you interview someone and tell them that you liked The Phantom Menace literally a week after they released a riff calling The Phantom Menace the worst film ever made. This is, bear in mind, the guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000. You make an impact. And it should be interesting. Anyway, if you guys can make it out to San Diego next month, you should definitely come because it'll be a good time. Chloe and Brian and I'll be there. And
Brian's coming?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's for the Riff Tracks.
Fucking Brian's coming.
Fucking Brian.
That's a
Unless
Dane,
he
that's
has
a,
to go.
Forgive me. That's a Dane Cook joke.
Yeah. Unless he has some acting teacher to hit on or something. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah.
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 You know, we had a party this last past couple of weeks.
And God.
Brian invited, like, kind of a small handful of just insanely cute LA actor chicks.
Before this happens, what's the exact date of that thing?
That shindig. Go to rifftracks.com, RIFFTRAX.com. I think it's like July 25th, I believe.
That sounds right.
Saturday, July 25th in San Diego. Nate, if you can come, that'd be awesome, dude. We'll take pictures for the site and we can jump up and do that up in the air picture, like with our arms up.
Oh, yeah, because that always works so well.
That made me the coolest guy in school. I don't know what you're talking about. The yearbook guys all liked my picture very much. Wow, I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, Brian invited a bunch of really cute actor chicks out to this party and then left. Like, so there was no one there. It was the beginning of the party. And two, in the span of 1 hour, two really cute actor chicks showed up, saw three people, self-included, listening to techno in like a steaming room with streamers and like a bowl of chips.
There was a fog machine.
Came upstairs and was completely awkwarded out of the room. Like, blasted out of the house by awkward force. Oh my god, it sucks so much. And then Brian got back, he's like, where are my friends? I was like, dude, they came and left with like a trail of smoke behind them. They were just fucking gone.
Then there was the nice Austrian girl.
Yeah, the nice Austrian girl was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should always come out to our parties if you live in California. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Because they're full of not awkward. During this time, I was busy braving the flatlands of El Segundo, trying to find someone's house to pick them up and take them here.
Nice.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this past week has been one of revelation. insofar as we've discovered that Frank Darabont continues to be awesome in the face of George Lucas not liking him very much. And of course, there are interviews where Frank Darabont has said, dude, I told George Lucas to his face that he's insane. And he says that George Lucas is very stubborn and doesn't believe you if you think that he's not awesome, which explains so much. And City of Gods was in many ways better than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And then we've got The Phantom Edit, edited by the late Mike Nichols, apparently. That was way better than The Phantom Menace. What does this mean? These are two instances of newcomers doing better instances of our favorite franchises than the guys that have been doing them for years and years.
I think it means that I feel like Lucas is very complacent.
Complacent insofar as...
Well, it's my franchise. Whatever.
You should fuck with my movies. I fuck with my movies.
Yeah, well, that's beside the point. But he's a little crazy and a little in love with his own ridiculous ideas and won't listen to anybody. Which, you know, because he's made successful franchises before.
He's made the single most successful film of all time.
I know.
The chat room is going to own me on that. I don't think Star Wars is. I think George Lucas is the most successful filmmaker of all time.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat room check that out. Maybe someone knows offhand. I don't know. Anyway, so what's next? These are essentially fan films.
Lucas has always been like this. That's true.
Says BGII 2000, which I've never understood the name. So in the chat room, Brad, if you want to explain to me what BGII means, that'd be great. I'm just worried that what this means is, in the face of far better writers and far better editors, or maybe just editors and writers that had less bureaucracy to deal with, because truthfully, both did not have to sustain the editorial process. One was dismissed in the editorial process, and the other was edited by a guy, not by a team of guys with varying opinions and money in the pot. So one thing that these two pieces of work don't actually have to deal with is the fact that usually filmmaking is a by-committee process, and both of them were done by singular guys.
Yeah.
Who were, in one case, shot down, and in another case, didn't have to
deal
with it.
For the record, BGII 2000 came from Yahoo.
Yahoo?
Yahoo gave it to him 12 years ago.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Hmm.
Oh, BGII. Oh, the second. Brad Graneth, the second. I see what he did there. Guest 8 says, Forbes net worth Spielberg, $3 billion. Lucas, $3.6 billion. I'm going to go with Lucas being the most profitable filmmaker of all time. What do you think? Yeah?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Chloe's the most complacent chat room reader of all time.
Yeah.
She's fucking people in the fucking chat room and they're fucking.
My training is in stage managing. I'm used to just ignoring people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Pragmatism.
Yes.
Nice.
Bringing it back there to something. Anyway.
Right.
Oh.
In the chat room, they're now talking about how much of that is box office, how much of that is merchandise. Doggins says because he would call Lucas one of the shrewdest marketers of all time. Right, wrong, or otherwise, that dude has he's doing fine. Because, famously, he didn't care as much about the final edit of the movie as he did about having the merchandising rights, and everyone was like, okay, whatever. And, of course, now he owns basically every single toy on the planet.
Yeah.
There's so much activity going on in the chat room that we don't have time to talk. We're just reading what you guys are saying.
Yeah, sorry. I'm trying to pay attention and contribute to the conversation. Well,
although Trey Stokes in the chat room says that George Lucas has one film in the all-time top 10 and Spielberg has two.
This is a good point, sir.
Cinnabo says, wouldn't you think the test audiences would have watched episode 1 and commented on enough stuff? You know, I do think that. Unfortunately, by the time it would have gotten to a test audience, the damage and the root of the problem would have been firmly in place.
Yeah, that's true.
And secondly, like, George Lucas is going to show anything ever before it comes out. Like, I think A New Hope, back in the day, which was called Star Wars back in the day, was previewed at Comic-Con a number of months before it came out. Since then, the whole, hey, let's let test audiences see what they think about the movie process hasn't really applied to George Lucas at all.
Yeah, and really...
Honestly, if there was a test audience that watched Howard the Duck, do you really think they would have even released it? They'd have been like, you know what? We spent $60 million on this, and it's going to cost $10 million to distribute it, and we're not going to make any of that money
back.
Hey,
they liked UHF.
They did like UHF. That's true. God, there's so much going on in the chat room.
I know, right?
Guest 8 says, but if you're talking about monetary success, it has to be Lucas, and they all agree with him in the chat room.
Yeah, he has insanely large expanses of land in Marin, which is crazy expensive.
So. Guest 8 says, balls and poop. This is our audience. We try to have assigned reading, and our audience comes back with balls and poop.
Guest 5 is
I feel like we've carved gone. A pretty good niche for ourselves.
I'm guessing that guest 8 is the old guest 5.
He's got huge tracts of land.
Yes.
Right. Well, anyway. If only Brian could have been here longer, we could have spent more time talking about City of the Gods, because I feel like that was a really cool conversation to
it
keep
was.
Having.
And I'm sorry, it's hard for me to keep track of the chat room and talk to you. So
yeah,
this gets boring.
If there's two people here that aren't watching the chat room, they can at least carry on while the third person reads. But when it's us both reading the chat room because Brian's not here, it kind of slows it down a little bit. But yeah, so I guess what we should be looking forward to at this point is Back to the Future 5, The Matrix 4.
Haven't we talked about
Pirates of the Caribbean 4, which is coming out?
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, Brian, and you know who confirmed that for me? While he has no official connection to the movie.
So he didn't have to sign any NDAs.
That guy from that article who played Jack Sparrow at Disneyland and then got fired and wrote a telling expose.
Ooh.
I had an one of those just completely random Hollywood style meetings with a guy named Brandon Hillock, who is, among other things, notable for having written this sort of expose piece that was originally on LA Magazine.
Can I stop you for a second? Derp, 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 derp. Expose.
What'd I say?
Expose.
Whatever.
Thank you.
Expose. That was in LA Magazine, and I think it's going to get turned into a book, and they were optioning it, and all these things. That was on dig.com and a number of other places. If you Google for Brandon Hillock, you will find multiple instances of this. But he was looking for effects guys for his pirate movie, not surprisingly, and got in touch with me, and I played broker and found him the right artist for the job and all that. And it was fun, but I sat down with this guy, and we started talking. And the more we talked, the more we started to realize that we know a lot of the same people. Like this guy who I really didn't know his name, I didn't know anything about him. The only thing I knew about him was that, whoa, cool, it's that guy from that article I read a few weeks ago. Interesting. But we talked more and more, and it turns out he's like, yeah, you know, my buddy Devin Reed. And of course, my brain goes, I know Devin Reed. Devin Reed made Prelude to Hope. Well, actually, no, he didn't. And then he made Prelude to Hope. Well, no, he didn't really do that either, but he's famous for having not done both of those. Weird. It's funny that Brandon knows that guy. Do you know Chad, I say to him, I say? And Brandon says, yeah, I know Chad. I said, do you know Chris Hanel? He's like, yeah, I know. I think I got drunk and drew on Chris Hanel. I'm like, oh my God, it's really creepy. This random dude who at first I thought was cool just because the one connection that, hey, he happens to be this pirate guy that wrote a thing, also happens to know all of my LA friends.
Didn't he post for the thing on 2K though?
TFN was where
TFN,
I saw the post.
Okay.
Which is, Devin and Chad aren't really regulars on the TFN. They were years ago, but it's still pretty random. And of course, Brandon doesn't post there very often either. But it was interesting just because, I was hanging out with this guy who looks, a fair bit like Jack Sparrow. And of course, he's got his beard cut so that he can, at all times, look like Jack Sparrow. And he had what appeared to be a fake tattoo, but might have been, God forbid, a real tattoo of like this crow
totally
in front
real.
Of the... It was?
That was totally real.
That was a real tattoo. He had that Johnny Depp bird in front of the sunset tattoo on his arm. Which was, okay, whatever.
He's going to listen to this and hate you now.
No, I think it's awesome. And if I could look like Jack Sparrow all the time, I would.
More a little, like, Pirates of the Caribbean, like, merchandise shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably would.
That was cute.
Not just the Spanish mangrove, the entire ocean, the entire world.
So, they're talking about City of the Gods.
City of the Gods. What are they saying, Chloe Z?
They're asking what your favorite part was.
My favorite part of City of the Gods... There was something in it that slips my mind. I haven't read it in a week or so. It slips my mind that I thought was just particularly genius. It might come to me the more I talk about it. I loved the ending. I've gone on record with Brian and Chloe and with Trey and a bunch of other people as saying that that's the best ending in an indie movie for me. I have zero problem buying it, particularly compared to what is the second best ending in the quadrilogy, which is God melting Nazis. Which I don't buy, but I can watch and enjoy. This ending was stunning. The alien was pissed. He started to ostensibly give everyone their wish, and of course, what you get what you wish for, and started just really fucking with these bad guys and really screwing them over. And of course, Indy makes the right choice, goes with his love for Marion and that whole bit, and escapes the tyrannical, fucked up, will kill you and make your eyes go splody alien guy. And ends up with the girl. Like, for some reason, the whole set piece that they set up for it worked for me. And, of course, what's also great, and a notable difference between the script that Frank wrote and the script that David Capp wrote, David Capp, is that in David Capp's script, the UFO takes off and goes. But a running theme in Frank Darabont's script, which almost forgives the refrigerator scene for me, is that, no, it's not that we shouldn't have nuclear power, and I'm a commie for saying that. It's that no one should have nuclear power. And that theme runs through the beginning with the nuclear explosion. And he expresses his distaste for it, not only because it is morally unsound, but because it threw him across the desert in a refrigerator. And then at the end, the equivalent happens, where the UFO comes back down and causes a giant nuclear blast that destroys the alien. There's a number of reasons why I think the ending is just genius, but overall my favorite part was the end, just because I felt like it tied together the script better than, definitely better than Crystal Skull, and I like a lot more than the other movies as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. Favorite part.
Your favorite part of the movie.
Favorite part of movie. I haven't actually had time to process the script. I basically just read it and was like, oh, good. Plug in mics.
Oh, cool.
What was your least favorite part of it?
My least favorite part of it was... You know, I gotta tell you, Brian was a fan of it, but now that he's gone, I'm gonna talk shit about him. I don't think the Jovito skull or idol bit in the museum was... No, I don't buy that. That seems way... That sounds very fan filmy, to be honest with you. Seems like a YouTube parody. What's going on in the chat room, Closey?
They don't like Axley's...
Axley's.
They don't like Oxley's psychic powers. They think they are gay.
Oh, wow. The internet thinks something is gay.
The internet thinks something is gay.
I love Oxley in this script.
I do, too.
I'm going to go to toe with you on that one. Yeah. I think that Oxley was a really good...
I love the way Oxley was written. I love his reveal.
Yeah.
Chad,
what's up, Chad
wants
Peter?
To poke his head in and interrupt our life.
Chad wants to know if he wants to go see Get Smart. When does it start? Yeah, I'd be happy to go to Get Smart.
I want to go to Get Smart.
Anyone in the chat room, you want to go to Get Smart with us and Chad?
You guys want food, too?
Yeah, probably. Do you want to talk about City of the Gods with us? Where's Brian? He just left. You want
to
talk about
Frank Darabont's
script?
He went to go hit on his acting
script?
Teacher.
Sure, I'll talk about it.
I haven't read it.
No. So what did you not think?
I didn't think too much about it, you know? It's kind of like a void.
Kind of like, it's just sort of a repressed memory, as it were.
A bad repressed
it's
memory.
It's a... Chad went out on the
top. Did you ever see The Phantom Edit?
No.
Hmm.
I'm not very helpful here, am I?
No. You know what you did do? You went to Bar Sinister last night.
I did. I saw
you leave the house
straight to
and
video.
Do stuff.
I saw two bands, no guitars, and three keytars.
That is awesome. It almost brings a tear to my eye.
It was pretty impressive. It was pretty funny.
Bar Sinister, for those not in the know, is a goth nightclub that almost has a dress code, and you had no crow makeup on last night, and I don't think you were going
to
get in.
You just have to wear black, otherwise it's more expensive to get in.
So the coverage is still there, it's just the cover charge is just that you
it
have
just
to...
It just scares off the random passerbys on the street, which is kind of nice.
That's actually cool.
So that they don't come in expecting one thing and then coming in and seeing something like,
it's called,
oh my god, somebody's getting whipped.
It's called Bar Sinister.
Yeah.
That's not a question. That's a.
Well, yeah.
I'm surprised at the lack of frat boys at this Bar Sinister. I don't know.
We were just talking about Brandon and how I had no idea who the hell he was. Then he starts talking about Devin and then about you and then about Handel. I was like, that's really weird.
Deputy Sax.
I haven't seen
Veronica Mars.
I actually looked on YouTube for clips from Veronica Mars with him in it, and there are none.
Yeah.
There are
can't
zero.
Imagine. I think he's got his own little fan club going on, though.
Dude, you go to his IMDb page, there's thread after thread of chicks that want to blow him.
I'm excited, though. I guess in season 3, he kills somebody.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm excited for that, because we haven't watched season 3 yet.
Mm. He has been 29 episodes. I can't find one clip on YouTube. That doesn't add up.
Well, he's only in, like,
YouTube
maybe a total
lacking.
Of, like, 5 minutes total,
altogether,
throughout those 29 episodes.
I'm just saying, maybe he hasn't very made
But people know who he is,
no.
Because he's got that child molester, like, mustache on.
Right. Come catcher.
Which looks nothing like he does in real life.
No, when I saw him, he had the Jack Sparrow mustache.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
So, yeah, I guess we're going to go see Get Smart, kiddos.
Well, yep. Who's in there anyway?
Oh, there's a bunch of people in the chat room today.
Yeah. Hi, people.
Hey, people.
We're disappointing.
I'm a little late.
Chloe Z, what are they saying in the chat room there?
Someone thinks Get Smart is gay.
Good. That's awesome.
You know.
All right, well, then what do you suggest we see then?
in the place of Get Smart. Something perhaps less gay.
Guess number eight.
What is not gay? Guess number eight.
You know,
you've professed a lot of things.
God damn it, this
gay.
Is California. We marry gay films.
This
all right?
is true. Get Smart and Phantom Menace can go.
But.
He says Iron Man.
Well, Iron Man. Iron Man doesn't need any more money. Iron Man is okay.
Iron Man has all of my money it needs.
This is fun.
Woo!
I
love Guru. Trey Stokes. Go drown yourself.
Oh my God.
Please,
Trey,
Jesus.
Really?
I feel like it's not adequate to have a talk show that is literally nothing but responding to what a chat room is doing.
Yeah.
But sometime it would be fun to do that, where we just do this for the entire episode, just read the chat room and respond.
Isn't that what we've been doing?
For the last few minutes, yeah. But, you know, we have a conversation every single time.
Completely worthless as an archive show, then.
No, yes. Sort of. But it's fun. You put it on, you listen to it. I listen to this show. I think it's a very great show to listen to. I go to work and I listen to Geeksa because I am narcissistic.
Nice.
I am.
No
nice.
Argument.
I know I hide it well. What with my red hair and all.
Yes.
Guest 8 is majorly.
He's got issues.
Into the gays.
He's into the gays. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Loves the gays.
Yep. So, yeah. I guess we'll go ahead and wrap it up at this point so we can go see Get Smart and get some food.
We should do that.
Next week, I'm sure. Is Wally coming out before? This is
27th. Next Friday.
Wally.
So by the time we have next week, so we will have
seen Wally.
I really look forward to that show. So, yeah.
And
everyone
maybe
see Wally
by then.
That's next weekend?
Yeah.
That's next weekend.
Ooh.
And I'm having a big get together with a bunch of folks from the Dave School alumni that are here. They're all now working effects artists. Seeing the Wally at some point, might be Saturday or Sunday. And if you're in the area, you should definitely come by. Shoot an email to teague.christie@gmail.com, and we'll get you hooked up. In other news, that's the end of the show. So, yeah.
Whee!
That's another show down. I feel like that was an informative.
Solid finishing of show.
I feel like we've, you know.
Let's go watch movies.
Spiritually, ecumenically.
I feel like I just got hit by a train.
Grammatically, why?
Train of podcasts?
A train of awesome podcasts.
Walked into a firestorm.
Yeah, you do that. All right, it's been Geeksa. It's been fun. Peace out. Don't die. Have a good week.